I'm Sarah Cahill with you every Sunday evening for classical and new music here at KALW. And we're on the internet, kalw.org. And my very special guest right now is composer and singer Corey Darkle. How are you?
I'm great.
It's great to meet you.
Great to meet you.
You're here in San Francisco. You're visiting from Brooklyn. And we're going to listen to some of your music in the next 45 minutes or so. What are you doing here in San Francisco?
I am working with the novelist Andrew Sean Greer on a new opera about three psychiatric patients who each believes he or she is Jesus Christ. And Andy and I have just started working on this. We're going to have our first reading of material in New York at New York Theater Workshop in September. So this is our first time working in the same space together, and he and I thought it would be great for me to visit him in San Francisco because it's been 10 years since I've been here, and I've been missing it.
Good. And so it's great that that coincided with you being able to come on the show. You're best known for your songs, and of course there's a great classical song tradition of Schubert and Hugo Wolf and various people, and then pop songs, and you seem to be comfortable in both genres, or your work combines both genres in a way. Can you tell us a little bit about that? You studied at Oberlin and worked with composers like Pauline Oliveris and John Luther Adams. So you have classical training, and also you work with more pop material.
Well, when I first came to New York after I graduated from Oberlin, I wanted to make music that was self-sufficient so that I could perform without having to depend on other musicians. I just thought that would be a smart career move to make. And so in order to do that, I thought, well, what do? I play synthesizers, and I'm comfortable with electronics and computers, and I sing. So I started to write songs, synth pop electronic songs, and produce my own accompaniments and perform those in clubs and bars and sometimes concert halls. It comes naturally to me because I've listened to as much pop songs and indie rock and what have you as I've listened to classical music. But lately, and that was a great move for me career-wise, I think. It made me comfortable working with the immediacy of song form, being direct with song lyrics, and I still unabashedly embrace that way of working and way of presenting my music, and I still sing everything that I write. But I've moved more recently to fully notated music that's sung by me but performed with classical instruments and classical ensembles. And I think one of the pieces that we'll be listening to is performed by the International Contemporary Ensemble, which is known for its performances of composers like Xenakis and John Adams and, you know, Elliot Carter, those types of, you know, thorny music that requires a lot of discipline and know how to pull off effectively. And so they asked me to write a piece for them, and I was really excited about the opportunity to make something for such virtuosic musicians while still embracing the kind of directness and pop song form that I love.
This is a 2-CD set that just came out of your music called Someone Will Take Care of Me. And so ICE is on one of the CDs, right? And the wonderful pianist Kathy Supovius is on the other CD. So we're going to listen to the beginning of the first one, 13 Near-Death Experiences. Can you tell us a little bit about these songs before we listen to them?
13 Near-Death Experiences is a song cycle about hypochondria. It begins with a song called Touch Me Where It Counts, which sets up a contentious relationship between the hypochondriac and his doctor. And the hypochondriac in this song is going to extreme measures in order to sort of have a romantic relationship with his doctor, and that's never going to happen. But for me, it sets a nice tone of creating a suspicion of experts or a dislike of experts. And if the doctor is an expert and the doctor knows what's wrong with me, then, well, I should say if the doctor thinks he knows what's wrong with me, well, then the doctor is mistaken. It sets up that kind of contentiousness. And then after that song, it begins to follow the life of the hypochondriac from birth to middle age to old age to death. So the two songs that I think we'll listen to after Touch Me Where It Counts, the first is called 12-Year-Old Scotch, and the second, which will be the third song, is called Ritalin. And so the 12-Year-Old Scotch tells the story about the singer's birth, and Ritalin talks about something that happens in his adolescence.
Okay. Music by Corey Dargle.
Our chronically platonic doctor-patient relationship is an immense source of tension. Seven individual physicals, five urgent emergencies. What will it take to get your attention? Why don't you touch me where it counts? Shove your ounce of compassion into a 140 pounds of satisfaction. It's no fictional condition, my presumptive consumption, yet it strikes you as outrageous. You tell me you can't help me. You insist that you won't miss me. But your incredulity is contagious. Why don't you touch me where it counts? Shove your ounce of compassion into 140 pounds of satisfaction. How impressively aggressive is your delusional conclusion that I do nothing but malinger? Do you really not believe me? Or are you deceptively deceptive? I see no wedding ring on your finger. Why don't you touch me where it counts? Shove your ounce of compassion into 140 pounds of satisfaction.
my diagnosis is chronic cirrhosis. It's chronic. I love my 12-year-old scotch. I need a constant supply just to get by. I need a constant supply. I need a constant supply just to get by. I need a constant supply. I need a constant supply just to get by. I need a constant. To get by, I need a constant supply just to get by. I need a constant supply just to get by.
Was an angry child, a wild-eyed baby. I was strangely beguiled by even angrier babies. But not even angrier babies could hold my attention. So I was given Ritalin. Little did they know that babies grow a little less with each dose. Ritalin has whittled me down and imposed fewer highs, fewer lows. No extremes, not even in my dreams. No extremes. Was an angry child, a wild-eyed baby. So I was given Ritalin. Little did they know that babies grow a little less with each dose.
no extremes.
Music by Corey Dargle, who is my guest this evening here at KALW. From his recent 2-CD set, Someone Will Take Care of Me, and this is on the New Amsterdam Records label. NewAmsterdamRecords.com is the website. Tell us again who was performing.
Right, the performances is by me singing and the International Contemporary Ensemble, or ICE, which is in a Puro ensemble instrumentation. And then David T. Little is on the drum set and percussion.
Wonderful. And you have a website too, yeah?
My website is coreydargel.com.
Okay, that's straightforward. tell me about your approach to rhythm and meter, because it's very unusual. And when you try and count along to your songs that we've been hearing, it's sort of impossible, and there's, which allows for a freedom, especially in the vocal line, and there's so much complex stuff happening in the instrumentation. How is it written out metrically?
It's usually in a mixed meter. Time signature might be changing every bar. Or it might be in something like 11/8, and that the measures will be comprised of 3 8th notes plus 2 8th notes plus 2 8th notes, that sort of thing. So it looks really simple on the page, actually, and then when you count it and try to play it together and sing it together with the ensemble, it can be really tricky. But I think it comes from the minimalists and from what Philip Glass and Steve Reich were doing with meter. It's also, for me, it's about groove, about being able to feel a pulse, a constant pulse, even when you don't have regular downbeats. That interests me. I think music for me is structurally anyway, is all about rhythm. Rhythm comes first for me. So I'm always trying to find interesting ways of dealing with rhythm, but without being so complicated that you don't still have a sense of groove or pulse.
And how do people find this subject matter? I mean, when you're writing songs about Ritalin, is it difficult for audiences, or do they embrace the subject matter?
This song cycle is not so difficult to embrace, I don't find. But mm-hmm. The next one that we will listen to a little while later, I think, is a little trickier. But I try to be direct with my songs, and I try to be confessional, if not sincere, with the lyrics that I write. I want to take these absurd or extreme behaviors, like hypochondria, and in the next piece, the next song cycle, which is part of the same album, is about a phenomenon called voluntary amputation, which is a much trickier and tougher subject for anyone to relate to, for most people to relate to. But I want to take these absurd, extreme behaviors and make them more relatable, to find ways of relating to them myself, and to find ways of relating to them to more common feelings that I think many of us, if not all of us, have, like anxiety and loneliness and loss of control. So I might start out with a tricky or dark subject, but I think by the end of these pieces, listeners will come around to seeing how they're like the characters in the songs and how the characters are like them. Mm. That's my goal.
Yeah. And you've gotten good response?
I've gotten great responses, actually. I think people are moved by these songs, which is important to me. And another thing that I enjoy is probably best exemplified by this woman who approached me after seeing Removable Parts, which is the name of the song cycle about voluntary amputation. She said, I didn't know her, she came up to me and she said, I just wanted to let you know that I was really moved by that piece, and I'm not sure that's okay. And that's really something that I want to make people a little uncomfortable, but also to in that process to make them see things differently, to see themselves differently, to see the world differently, and to be more empathetic with people who are unlike them.
Let's listen to some more of your music. This is What Will It Be For Me?
Yes.
Anything you want to say about this before we listen to it?
I think it speaks for itself.
Thank you. cautious not to scold me. And when I'm nauseous, someone to hold me. Someone will take care of me as illness devours my mortal clay.
Music by Corey Dargle from his 2-CD set, Someone Will Take Care of Me. And his website is coreydargle.com. That's CoreyDargel.com. And this is, the record label is New Amsterdam Records. I'm Sarah Cahill here with Corey Dargle. You're listening to KALW San Francisco. How was it? We've been listening to you with the International Contemporary Ensemble. How was the transition between performing with yourself, your own songs, and working with other musicians? And was that a difficult transition? I imagine it was sort of like Conlon Nancarrow going from punching his own player piano rolls to working with live musicians, which I think was a very difficult thing.
You know, Am I on?
Yes.
I think I was actually pretty conscientious about that, pretty aware that the change would be a drastic one for me. So I wrote music that, I mean, I tried to write music that was sort of foolproof, both for me and the ensemble, music that wouldn't turn out to be something unpredictable or, I don't know. But it was fine. And Ice was really gracious with the amount of rehearsal time they gave me. They knew this was a drastic shift for me, and they were excited about that, and they wanted to be fully supportive and integral to the development of the piece. They wanted it to be a collaborative project in that sense. And so it was really easy to move from working with my own self-produced electronic accompaniments to working with a group like Ice, because they were so good at what they were doing and because they gave me so much time generously to work with them and to really learn as I was going what I was trying to achieve. But I should say that before working with Ice, I started to work with one or two musicians at a time and still use electronic backing tracks. And that's something that I did with the other song cycle that's on this album, which is called Removable Parts. That's the song cycle about voluntary amputation, and that's performed by, as you said, by Kathleen Supovi, the pianist. So she plays live on the piano, I sing live, and there's a recorded playback of lots of drum machines and synthesizers and textures like that.
Mm. And I think you can't use the phrase voluntary amputation without a little bit explaining what it means.
I do that all the time. What do you mean? voluntary amputation is a real phenomenon. Actually, it's been written about in a number of medical journals, and even recently, surprisingly, featured on the news magazine show Dateline NBC. It refers to people who have a compulsive desire to amputate a healthy limb because they feel that limb is not a part of them. It's foreign to them. They've been compared to transgendered people because they feel trapped in the wrong bodies, and there's nothing that can, you know, for some transgender people, there's nothing that can make them feel whole other than an operation. And for wannabe amputees, which is what they call themselves, they feel that there's nothing that will make them whole without an operation to remove the limb in question. So that's what it is. And like I was saying earlier, I wanted to take this extreme behavior and find a way to make it more relatable to people, which was a tall order for this piece. And I don't know if that will come across in listening to just a few songs, but if you listen to the entire song cycle, I think there is a trajectory from sort of an alienating presentation of these people, these characters who wish to have a healthy limb amputated. And when you get to the end, it almost feels like, well, of course, everybody should want that.
So we're going to listen to the second, we're going to listen to sort of close to the beginning and then about halfway through.
Right. The first song that we'll hear is called, I'm blanking on the name of the song, is called Why Not Take All? Uh-huh. And it uses sampled material from a standard song that you may be familiar with called All of Me. And it's sort of a Sinatra ballad that should probably be sung with a glass of whiskey and a cigarette. And then after that is a song called Fingers, in which Kathleen Supovi plays the piano with metal finger splints and is instructed in the score to tap dance on the keys with the finger splints and try not to press the keys hard enough that they make a sound. But she can't not press them hard enough. She can't avoid that sometimes. So there are accidental piano sounds in this piece, in the song Fingers, when Kathy depresses the key a little too hard. But mostly what you hear in Fingers is the metal splints tap dancing on the keys and a harpsichord and synthesizer reinforcing that line.
Great. So this is Removable Parts, Corey Dargle on vocals and synthesizer, yeah? And Kathleen Supovi on piano.
This cavity in my chest once was my heart, but I'll be better off now that it's gone. Everyone else seems to get on just fine without one. Please don't feel sorry for me, I'm not pathetic. I'm just different than I used to be. Just different than I used to be. Yeah.
I'd be better off dying. And I'm not disagreeing. Some say eyes were made for seeing, but I've been doing nothing with mine but cry. It's not you. No, it really isn't you. It's me. It's just me.
With only a set of stumps would lack finesse. What would you know about finesse? But I digress.
Music by Corey Dargle from his new 2-CD set, Someone Will Take Care of Me. That's from the song cycle Removable Parts. Corey Dargle on vocals and synthesizer, Kathleen Supovi on piano. And what's happening there is there are several keyboard things going on. She's tapping on the piano tap dancing on the piano keys.
Right.
With metal splints. And then what else is going on?
And then some of the notes that she tap dances on, she presses on hard enough that the actual strings inside the piano are struck with the hammers. Mm. But she's not supposed to do that. The catch is that it's sort of impossible not to do that once in a while.
Yeah.
And then when she does accidentally press the keys hard enough to make the strings inside the piano sound, that's amplified a lot. So you really hear those strings resonating when she hits them hard enough. And then there's a synthesizer and a harpsichord that are playing variations on what Kathy is playing on the piano.
Great. Well, hope to hear you soon in San Francisco.
Yes, I'm planning on it.
Yeah.
I'll be back several times over the next couple of years working with Andrew on this opera.
Yeah. And your website is coreydargle.com, and that's C-O-R-E-Y. DARGEL.com. And this 2-CD set is on New Amsterdam Records, and their website is newamsterdamrecords.com. Thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.